Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
And in the second half, we have Brad Williams hanging tight while we're doing the news. So we got that to look forward to. Always love Gina and her news. First, betonline.ag, summer action. It's heating up, MLB, MLS, whatever you're into. Football, preseason, oh, it's coming. Football season's coming. Only one place that has you covered, and it's only one place that we trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for your free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for your 50% welcome bonus. I'd say UFC is kind of a fun thing to put a couple ducats on, so go to betonline.ag and make the next UFC fight that much more exciting. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code podcast1 or text BETNOW to 238669, 238669 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, a former software engineer from Seattle is in police custody and charged with computer fraud and abuse after she stole the personal information of more than 100 million individuals. Her picture is everywhere right now, and I think we have it. You don't hear about the ladies too often with this. Mm. Capital One announced Monday that a hacker had breached its system, gained access to bank account numbers, social security numbers. Police arrested 33-year-old Paige Thompson. There she is, who is accused of swiping the data from credit cards.
She looks like a criminal.
She looks like the beginning
looks like
of
what's
Pulp Fiction.
What's her name from Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And I'll execute every... Yeah, that's her.
Honey Bunny.
Honey Bunny. Ooh, So she's accused of swiping the data from credit cards applications between March 12th and July 17th, if that sounds like
Woo!
You. Experts say it is one
clear.
Of the 10 biggest hacks ever. And
wow.
It comes just 1 week after the news broke about the Equifax breach, which affected 147 million people. Capital One says it will contact everyone who was affected, offer free credit monitoring. And this girl, she tweeted something like...
Capital One and their Vikings or Wells Fargo and their Stagecoach.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they're technologically advanced enough to handle the age we're living in.
Perhaps maybe show some damn robots.
Yeah,
must
maybe
be some fucking robots. I don't want to see a Stagecoach and I don't want to see a Viking. That doesn't feel like cutting edge technology to me.
How about a bunch of Asian adults just like at their computers going, we're monitoring your shit all the time.
Yeah, with their keyboard smoking.
Yeah, how about that?
That'd be good. Yeah, she was very open about the fact that it was her. She said it was like, it's the equivalent of strapping a suicide vest on and walking into public. She's like, this is me. I'm about to do it.
She might
be
alive.
A little,
so,
unhinged.
Not quite. But.
You know, look, I have said it a bunch. Criminals, we always think of them as bad, but you have to think of them as lazy. Like, they don't want a job. Like, if you took most criminals, you go, oh, that guy broke into their house and they ransacked the house, they tore apart all the personal belongings everywhere, and you go, well, that guy's a bad guy. But you really think about it, that guy's a lazy guy.
Yeah.
Because if you talk to that guy in front of the house he was going to break in and ransack, and I went, what if I could magically just get all the valuables out of this house, put it in a pillowcase and put it in the back of your car.
I'm listening.
They just go, oh, yeah, fine, do that. I don't want to get bit by a dog or cut by glass or anything.
Right.
The whole identity thing and the whole cyber everything is the ultimate in lazy criminal.
Yeah.
You couple
do
it of from keystrokes.
The, you do it from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
Like carjacking is fine, but there's a degree of danger involved with carjacking.
Sure.
Just ask El Chapo.
Right. Two cars broke down. That's what I love about only in Mexico. If he was in Germany, he'd still be on the run.
Right.
He commandeered two random cars and they both overheated in 100 feet.
What are the chances?
Only in Mexico. Once upon a time in Mexico.
Yeah.
So Criminals are going to do whatever they can do from the comfort of their own home, and there's going to be more and more of that.
At this point, like, Floyd Mayweather sounded crazy for, he says that he keeps all of his money essentially in cash in his house. Like, all of that. But, right, it sounds mad, like, that you're insane, and now, with stuff like this, you're like, maybe not the worst idea.
Yeah.
Invest in a good safe, people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Katy Perry's Dark Horse, you know the song, I'll remind you in a moment, ripped off a Christian rap song, according to a California jury. Marcus Gray, he's a Christian rapper, you guys know him, he's known as Flame, that Katy Perry's 2013 hit bit his song called Joyful Noise, stating that the most obvious thing Perry lifted was the beat featured in her hit produced by Dr. Luke. During the trial, both the singer and the producer insisted they've never heard Joyful Noise, but the rapper said they might have caught it at the Grammys or seen it on YouTube. It got millions of plays. So the case will now move on to damages.
So did she write the song?
I think with Dr. Luke.
I'm looking at Dawson. Sorry, let me think. George Harrison has a song called Dark Horse, right? I believe it's on his first solo album.
I think so.
Anyway. So, yeah.
Now you sound like my wife.
Go make me right.
So I have both of the songs for you, can get the vibe. And it's just that sort of backbeat.
Right.
Here's Joyful Noise.
Let's talk about it. Your boy's been a Christian quite a few years. Yeah. Victory in faith, but I failed in my fears. Man. I heard a lot of words that
okay,
have tickled
so you get the point.
Ears.
And
yeah,
here's the Katy Perry.
Like every song that Paris
say.
Hilton plays right. when she's asked to DJ.
And by the way, I'm going to play the Katy Perry, and then someone did mash them together, if that matters. A lot of songs have the same structure, but here's the Katy Perry song.
Let's rage.
I knew you were.
It's just that back.
Well, we're going to run into this a lot if people aren't going to write songs anymore. They're just going to fucking put computer noise in the background and then put their put their voice through a filter. We're going to run into this a lot because both are non-songs.
There's only so many algorithms.
When you do songs and you have, you know, songs like they had the Ghostbusters theme and they got the
New
Drug. Want a New Drug, or you can play them and go, well, that song sounds like that song. These are both non-entities. Yeah. They're both just fucking computer shitting out nothing, and then people talking through a Roomba. So we got there's no A and B.
This is the risk you run making your bones as a short generic pop star. You're going to run into like this sounds like a thousand other songs.
If I was in charge of this fucking case, it'd be you're both fucking guilty. You're both doing time for fucking ruining our society.
Dark Horse, six songwriters, three producers.
Whoa.
Dark Horse.
Sue
for
all
her,
of them.
Right.
Credited.
They're all going
six
down.
Six credited songwriters.
My God. Mm-hmm. Six people can write that shit. Took six people to write a
they don't
pile
want
of crap.
Name on that.
That's horrible.
Mm. Here's Harrison's, which I imagine only took one.
It's got the same beat.
But you could hear a song that was similar and go, you rip this off. The other one is a computer farting. You
that happened to George Harrison.
That's right.
Which I never got. He's so fun. Which has always been weird to me.
Those songs do sound a lot alike.
No, they don't sound a lot alike.
Really? You don't think so?
Well, you're using the word a lot alike.
They sound a little alike, but there's a finite number of beats per minute.
Yeah.
And a finite number of chords.
And notes.
Songs
keys.
Are going to sound alike.
Yeah.
They don't. I like figuring out what songs sound alike. Like we always talk about that. Sorry, I can't think. I gotta turn it down. But the Ghostbusters sounds more
bad. Soulfinger
sounds more like Soulfinger than it does I Want a New Drug. Like that I get. My Sweet Lord and He's So Fine don't sound a lot alike. Now, maybe you can break them down rhythmically into something, but when you just hear He's So Do-Lang, it doesn't sound like My Sweet Lord.
I don't want this kind of shit to continue because then I'm hoping it never bleeds into comedy where someone goes, hey, I do a bit about self-driving cars. I do one. You talk about it too, so now I'm suing you.
The more popular you are, aren't you afraid of that all the time?
All the time.
Yeah, it has to happen because there's only so much shit going on simultaneously right. in the world, and that's what comedians do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else you got, Gina?
You familiar with Tony Stewart, NASCAR driver?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to love this.
He's a legit friend of mine.
Wait, he's a legit
is his
badass.
Nickname Smoke?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yes. So NASCAR legend Tony Stewart got in a little trouble over the weekend because of a fan. Three-time NASCAR Cup Series champion competed in a sprint car race in Jackson, Minnesota, but dropped out after just one lap when his engine blew out. Afterwards, he was signing autographs for fans, and one guy just started heckling him and just riding him and cursing him for quitting and just being the worst. That's when Stewart had enough. He got that
left. Oh, my God. I'm looking at a picture.
Oh, look at you guys.
Yeah, that's me and Smoke on his private jet.
Oh, you're going to love this. He punched the dude.
By the way, let me tell you something about guys who drive cars.
Yeah.
They fight all the time.
Sometimes on the track.
They fight on the track. Like, if you ever want to throw down, make fun of a race car driver. I don't know about F1, but the NASCAR guys, they want to throw down.
I dare you what?
They throw down all the time.
Yeah.
And so you can't ring their bell.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is the clip.
Oh, let's see. Let's see my boy swing.
Hey, shut up.
Oh, he's running. I mean, he's literally running across the parking lot.
To get him.
Yeah, fuck you, bitch.
Oh.
Clean show, guys. Clean show.
Yeah.
He's got a temper, man. Yeah. And
he runs hot.
And also, like I read this article and it was so the guy was mad at him because he said he came down here, did one lap and then stopped.
Like he big timed everybody?
Yeah, and we all came to see you race. And I'm like, motherfucker, he's there signing autographs.
Yeah.
Right.
If he wanted to quote unquote big time you,
He would have left.
Like I love it when people tell me you don't care about your fans. I'm like, I do meet and greets after every fucking show. Every show, and I'll see the whole line. Like, I'm sorry I didn't meet you for 10 minutes and...
You didn't go to brunch.
Yeah, listen to your idea about how I'm going to be the spokesperson for your new mini donut shop. I'm sorry I didn't do that. But
it's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Holes is going to franchise.
Yeah.
I know.
But like, he's out there signing for people. He's taking photos.
It's the same thing you're talking about with the veterans who are... going, this is for your guy and Trump or whatever. It's like
they're
the
just
proof
mad.
You're there signing autographs. Really, you're going. Like I remember doing a show in God, I think we're in Fresno, and like we're done. You sign everyone, you take all the pictures, you do all the shit, and then at a certain point, you go, all right, everyone's got their pictures, everyone's signed, and you go, I'm going back to the hotel, and then you get that's it, Ace. And I literally yelled at the guy, wait, you want me to blow you by the dumpster? Like, what do you want from me?
Right?
That's
bluff.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I don't work at the theater. Oh, I got to empty the garbage. I got to bust some of those dishes. Like, we're done. Yeah. I'm done.
I did a show at the Wilbur Theater in Boston. The show was an hour and a half, and then I did a meet and greet with everyone who wanted to meet me in. And that's a theater. And we sold it out, and the meet and greet was an hour 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yes. That was the meet and greet. And then some guy commented, he's like, I invited you out to a bar afterward. You said no.
Right.
Yeah.
How dare you?
We're done. Our transaction is over at this point. I like doing the meet and greet. It's cool. I like talking to people. I like meeting, hear good stories. But fuck, dude. I just gave you an hour and a half show and then an hour to 45 minute meet and greet.
Brad,
we're done.
Are you insinuating that being on stage and then talking to a bunch of people is harder than sitting and laughing and enjoying yourself? Stop it.
I think race car drivers, especially in NASCAR, stock car, whatever, are generally more aggressive human beings.
Sure.
And you have to have that element of this person passed me and now I got to get him back. I got to get to this person. So that is the wrong person to heckle, I would say.
Now we know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd say, well, if you're going to the bake sale, maybe heckle those people. You might be a little safer.
Suck.
They do a move in NASCAR. It's funny. They do a NASCAR fight. They'll pull their helmet off and start swinging around or pounding it on the windshield of the other car or whatever.
There's one
They
clip.
Don't do that in hockey. They always keep the helmet on. They don't. You'd think they'd take it off and wave it around.
There's one NASCAR clip, I don't know if you guys can find it, of a guy like drop kicking through the driver's side window.
Really?
Yeah,
like General Lee style.
Yeah, like they fought, and then like some guy cut somebody off or ran him into the wall, and he runs, jumps, and does a full double drop kick into the window, and I'm like, Is this in a Fast and Furious movie? Like, because that's a rock Sweet. Move right there.
There better be a Hobbs and Shaw.
Here it is.
Looks like they
dropkick car fight.
Get in here. Helmet off. Going to throw the helmet. Hey, they usually throw the helmet at them.
Watch this.
Runs up to the 20 car and delivers a wee.
Whoa!
Through the windshield.
There's the helmet throw. The helmet. I told you. Cut the guys off. Oh, they fucking love it.
Through the windshield.
Oh, now they're all retaliation. Retaliation.
I'm telling you, they fight.
That's awesome.
That's my favorite.
Scrappers.
I don't know. It's good, but just to balance it out ethically, Larry Holmes running over a limousine long ways to jump onto, I don't know, Sphinx or whoever was a pretty good, not in a race, but still involves running over a car, physically
amongst running over a car. Yeah.
That was a nice double leg kick to the sternum. Yeah, and I don't think those sprint, dirt track, whatever cars have windshields, so maybe that was it, or if it was Lexan or something. But
here we go.
Let's watch the great
Trevor
Burbick and Larry Holmes. Larry runs over a town car in dress shoes.
In the parking lot.
In wingtips.
Is the cops with him and the reporters?
And he's saying that Larry Holmes attacked him. And look at this, Charlie.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's the most athletic move Larry Holmes has ever pulled.
Where's
That's exactly a swan dive.
Where's wrestling announcer Jim Ross when you need him? Good God Almighty! God is my witness! He just ran over that limousine and broke him in half!
That was awesome.
That's so great when athletes do that.
Well, there's a petition aiming to change the date of Halloween from October 31st to whatever the last Saturday of the month is. The petition, which I think is smart, petition launched last year by the nonprofit Halloween and Costume Association, argues that the moving the date of Halloween will be safer, longer, stress-free celebration. So basically, in theory, it would mean Halloween would kick off during daylight hours, not interfere with work or school schedules. They've already scraped together more than 60,000 signatures. More coming every day. Seems like it'd be easier.
I'm down with that, but you know, I guess I don't know how it works with some of these like congressional bills, but they tack stuff onto them.
Oh, pork.
What are they hiding in there?
I got some pork. enough with the goddamn gerrymandering with the kids. I don't want to see your poor fucking kids dropped off in my nice neighborhood getting all my free candy. They fucking got to walk around their piece of shit neighborhood, and maybe that'll spark some change in them because
develop some grit.
We've now figured this thing out where everyone just picks up their kids, leaves Pacoima, comes on out to Encino, drops the kids off there, hit up Rich Whitey, get the peanut butter cups, and then it's back to your piece of shit neighborhood. Need that.
I would also tack onto that. If you're not wearing a costume,
they're out.
No candy.
Yeah.
There's been kids coming to my house this past Halloween that they were out with their little brother, little sister, and they're in the costume, and then the kids just standing there in t-shirt and jeans, going trick or treat.
Right.
And you're like, for what?
Yeah.
Trick, bitch.
Make an effort.
The shirt's on backwards.
Some dude, the dude basically looks like Keanu Reeves from Parenthood, and he's just fucking standing there with this greasy hair. Like, hey, man.
Good reference.
Could I have an Abba Zabba?
Yeah.
No, getting a fucking outfit. Then you can come back and have something.
Yeah. Man, you have to at least put on at least a strange hat.
Yeah.
At least make the effort of that one Adam Sandler rant on Weekend Update where he was like, cheap Halloween costumes, and he put like a
Fork for an arm guy.
Yeah.
I'll give me some candy.
Hey, look, I'm crazy fork for an arm guy. Hey, look, I'm crazy toilet paper head guy. And he just got a piece of toilet paper on his head. At least that.
Right. I agree.
Do you remember what Todd, Keanu Reeves' aspiring profession was in Parenthood?
He wanted to be a
drag racer.
That's right.
That's right.
No money in that.
Wow. We are getting into a time now. When you say he's a drag racer, you don't know.
Oh. What's the tea, girl?
You don't know.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Do they love themselves so they can possibly love somebody else? What? Like, what are they doing?
I got that, and I loved it. Thank you.
Also,
you got that reference.
Of course.
In drag racing, you'd hear the term, some go, some blow. Now that has taken a turn as well.
I don't know what to believe.
Yeah, like, we are getting to a point where a lot of young millennials are not going to know what drag race you're talking about. Oh, yeah, me and all the boys, we're going to see drag race. And you're like, I bet you are.
Yeah, RuPaul's an Emmy winner now.
Maybe this will be their queer. because queer meant funny a long time ago.
Right.
And now it means gay to us. Or not funny, ha-ha. Yeah, like, just odd, funny, yeah, odd. Yeah.
Right.
And then it meant gay.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe this will be that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're talking about Drag Race. That means something else to us. It means something else to them. And it is gay. So it works.
Generally, yeah.
We found your queer, everybody. All right, one more.
Okay.
We found your queer.
Well, an Italian town will begin issuing fines to individuals who blaspheme or curse in public as part of an effort to curb impolite behavior,
who?
According to Newsweek. This is in Italy. A little
Italian
town.
Live show.
It's a town called Saunata. It plans to issue $445, the equivalent fines to those who break the law. The mayor of the town said that the law doesn't just apply to those who use the name of God in vain, but Allah, Buddha, Mohammed. He doesn't like it. He finds it offensive. He wants it to stop. However, there's a few other laws you might get behind that he's implementing.
Okay.
It also includes 75 other bans.
Do they have Halloween over there?
Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know if they have that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
So when Megan Rapinoe is getting the soccer thing, she's like, New York kicks fucking ass.
Yeah.
Like, she'd get fine.
She's out.
She's fine.
Of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Going full Singapore.
Also, yeah, that's right. Caning.
Mm-hmm.
It also includes 75 others, like individuals who dump trash in public places or don't keep their dogs on a leash. There's also a paragraph defining what hours are appropriate to mow your lawn.
What's going on with Italy's tightening up? Like, there was just a story that the Pope explain to anybody in the mob, like, you're going to hell. Like, get your shit together.
Tough
you're
dance.
Going
yeah.
to hell.
Wow.
Well, I just mean, I don't know. There seem to be roping it in a little, heading a little more toward morality or something. Like,
well, modern,
a little less
yeah.
with the cussing and a little less with the grift. And maybe you could avoid hell. Like, what's that?
That new pope.
Is there a new pope?
Well, the newish.
He's cool pope.
Cool pope.
Yeah, cool pope told the mobsters, knock it off.
That's a great SNL sketch.
Cool pope.
I'm cool pope. What are you kids doing? You smoking the reefer? I got some smoke for you out of my tower.
He walks over to the jukebox, he hits it, and the Christian rapper from the Katy Perry lawsuit pops up, you know. Yay!
I'm cool pope.
Well, I'll
water
say
the
this.
Wine, how about whiskey? Bam! Cool pope.
I don't know a lot about how effective his decree to the mob to knock it off or they're going to hell is, but if we can find any numbers on that and that it's actually working, next stop, Mexico.
Yeah, it's a little toxic down there.
The narcos.
Both get on down there.
Yeah. Both very Catholic countries.
Get on down. Religious. If it had any effect at all. I got many other stops for him to make.
Those are some of my favorite scenes in mob movies where, like, they're just done stabbing a body in the trunk of the car, and some guy says, God damn it. And the guy goes, hey,
what you doing?
A mouth on you. It's awesome.
It's one of the best scenes of The Godfather at the end, where he's having all his enemies killed while he's doing these, doing the baptism.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, I was about to say bris.
One more.
Well, a new report indicates that more than a quarter of delivery food drivers sample the customer's meals before you get them.
Oh, yeah.
You knew it, right?
Well,
your fries look a little light.
You can't count the fries.
No.
Yeah.
And you can't put a bag of fries shotgun when you're driving without that right hand
just
pinching over and grabbing one.
20-piece chicken nugget? They're not going to count the chicken nuggets.
Thank you. They're high.
In and out. You got those fries. You got the smell. Yeah. The guy's driving
they're
a
right
stone.
They're right there, for God's sake.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The study examined the habits of both delivery customers and drivers, indicated 28% of delivery drivers do sneak a little taste from the order.
Is that by their admission, or are they like secretly?
I don't think they're nanny cammed. I think they probably
Well, because if it's by their admission, it's probably many more.
Yeah, that's right. When asked if they minded if their driver took a few fries, the average person response was 8.4 out of 10. One is no big deal. 10 is absolutely unacceptable.
So people proprietary are not happy. Fries.
Meanwhile,
almost a 10. I mean,
yeah, people
are outraged,
do not want
then go get your own fucking food.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the price of doing business.
By the way, I like it when the laziest people on the planet are outraged by someone's movement.
Yeah. You're driving around?
Yeah, what the fuck? I'm trying to think
working?
Of
you have a job?
The stuff,
how dare you?
The
make
stuff that could get pinched. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
French like fries on top of the order.
Yeah, if you order a double-double, we can't do anything
about
that.
Onion
rings.
Oh, yeah.
You think they're taking a piece of time?
Toppings. I know people who do it. Like if it's a sausage pizza.
Who have done
and you have those little balls of sausage on there. Yeah. You could do that.
Yeah.
Some leave a footprint, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'll get my jeweler's loop out before I tip and I start looking for moon craters.
No fries. Evidence. Onion rings. Tater tots.
Any side dish.
And especially with fast food, when you deliver it, the person who's getting the food is more likely to just be like, the guy at McDonald's probably fucked it up.
Right.
And then, it's a victimless crime.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, and what about your drinks? You got that shake. They put that little half paper back on.
They don't. That would leave a trace.
You could do
the shake.
One hit. Yeah.
The shake it has
trace.
Legs.
Yeah.
You can do it. Take the lid off, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blowing the shake back into it.
I feel like you could never really nail down anything potato based because how many times you've done this where it's like you've gone out to a Saturday breakfast with a friend of yours. I know it always seems this way. You ordered the whatever omelet, the whatever, and you ordered the hash browns on the side. And at some point when the things were delivered, it looks like his hash browns are 10 times bigger than what you got. Like it's a little luck of the draw. Like sometimes, we're at the end of the griddle or whatever. Sure. You got what you get. But sometimes yours takes up the space of like a small coaster. Right. And then other times it dominates like the whole plate.
It's laying off the plate.
We're that way with, but I've had French fry bags. It seemed like they were bursting with fries. And I was like, that's a little bit light.
Yeah.
You know, like when you order a lobster tail, you kind of know what you're getting because you're just kind of paying for what you're getting.
Carb-based items.
Lot of range.
Ooh, croutons on the salad?
Yeah.
Never counted.
The best delivery to poach from would be then KFC because you have a bucket of chicken. What's a small piece of chicken? That and you got the potato wedges and the mashed potatoes.
Mashed, you gotta work it.
Yeah, you got one little twist.
You got a full Richard Dreyfuss back there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're going to have tamper-proof bucket lids now,
next sentence off of the paper. Nearly 85% of respondents said they'd like restaurants to use tamper-evident lids and labels.
Listen,
sticker on the side?
I could just get up off my own ass and get my own food, but that's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
You guys do this.
Stop fucking up.
Yeah, you guys stop fucking up.
Well, so there's two things. Brad probably knows. We experienced this in Denver at the Comedy Works. I think they put everyone's cell phone in a little pouch. And then they unlock it when you get done. In the world of racing, like if you're doing like endurance racing or whatever, something with the fuel, they'll put a little wire and a little number and a crimp thing like over the fuel thing that means you can't fuel in between whatever's and somebody's gonna have to cut it needs to be officially cut off, or like the sweater when you buy it at the store that's got the liquor
at the grocery store.
Sure. We're just gonna have to do that with everything, plus all these little douches spitting into the iced tea bottles and everything. We're just gonna have to just fucking bubble wrap everything and tie it and Ziploc it and do everything on everything, right?
That's where we at.
And then more turtles are gonna get more shit in their nose because we can't act like fucking human beings, right?
We got the straws out, thank Christ.
Right, but
now
tripled down on zip ties.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Oh, shut up, cunt. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
I didn't know my ex called earlier. That's
Kyle Dunnigan and Danny Trejo tomorrow, by the way.
That is going to be a podcast. A
little bit of range. First, let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. And how about you save hundreds of dollars on your auto insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money and you put it in your pocket. It is the best. It is Geico. Brad is going to be at the Bray Improv this Friday through Sunday. And then also in Las Vegas at Jimmy Kimmel's Club.
That's right.
And that is August 8th through the 11th. For more dates, you can go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. I'm going to be in Monterey with Adam Ray.
My podcast partner.
We'll be there. That'll be at the Golden State Theater August 17th.
So
doing stand up there. So we got that. And you can just go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. And if you want to get in on the Meme Gods or When We Went Mad, those docs, you go to microventures.com/Adam. Also, yes, Paul Bryan.
Laughs with Paul Bryan featuring Brad Williams.
I'm on the bill.
All the things you guys talked about, no list of performers, no order, that'll all be there.
Oh, I can't wait.
Heaven, utopia.
Who's up next?
And we got good sports next, and you can take the Podcast One survey at podcastone.study. Thank you in advance. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Brad Williams, Sheena Grad, and Bald Brian. Say it. Mahalo. It highlights my moronic ship.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports, Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla coming right up.
He said, Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace. I keep celebrating it, and I will continue to do so until the first Sunday of February, because for the next, 24-ish weeks or so, football, more football before games that matter. We have Hard Knocks coming at us. AB, Vontaze Burfict, Richie Incognito et al. For our eyes, the greatest Hard Knocks of all time, I dare say.
Who? Excited. AB?
Antonio Brown.
Oh.
The guy who knocked him out cold in a football game, in a playoff game in Cincinnati. Literally, I mean, you thought, wow, AB might be dead from that hit, that headshot that he just took there, the way his body fell limp. Vontaze Burfict, now teammates, and then Richie Incognito, who got suspended for threatening the funeral home workers because he wanted to take his late father's head. But his name's Richie, so.
Right, so we forgive. What team is that?
It's the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I knew he went to the Raiders. That's right.
How exciting, right?
Yeah, it's sort of how the mighty have fallen, too, because they always take the lower-tier teams, and you're constantly thinking about the Browns or somebody, who's Bengals, and then you go, oh, the Raiders, and then, oh, they're the Raiders. Yeah, but they're not the Raiders.
Oh, but, I'm going to call it here. There's no way this isn't the best season ever. I don't know how this couldn't be the best one ever with the three guys I just named, plus John Gruden, plus Derek Carr, who is in a weird spot as the leading man, the quarterback, has to have a big season, or maybe then they're leaving the East Bay, they're moving to Vegas next year.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell my Al Davis Raiders joke, which people seem to enjoy, which is, Every other team owner would just wear a suit and tie, you know, a nice suit and tie, but they would wear a suit and tie. And then Al Davis would wear this like pleather black gi with the Raiders insignia and a white turtleneck and weird leather Raiders pants.
Black hair.
He would wear Raiders paraphernalia or Raiders memorabilia, like stuff you'd buy at the shop at the stadium. He would wear that to the owner's meetings or wherever he went. He dressed like a Raiders fan, not like the owner of the team. And I said, this would be like if the president of the United States dressed like Uncle Sam. Like, if Donald Trump didn't wear a suit to the inauguration, but he just dressed like Uncle Sam, that's basically what Al Davis did his entire career. And I would be for that.
I support that idea fully. And if it can't be the owner, because whatever, there's some dignity or whatever involved, then require the head coaches of each team to dress like the team mascot. I'd like to see Gruden out there with an eye patch and a helmet without a face mask on it.
And I guess his son has a weird bowl cut. I guess Al Davis's son.
So scary. Mark Davis has. I understand from people who know Mark Davis and are tied into the organization that he goes out of his way to get that haircut. It's a choice. It's not like, it's the one that, down the corner, so that's why I get my hair cut there. He goes specifically. He makes a special trip that I think is more than an hour away, if not a couple hours away, to get that haircut every time.
Can I say this about the haircut? You guys tell me. What Chuck Todd for CNN?
For NBC.
Oh, is he NBC? Right. Sorry. Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd has, and I'll come up with my Mount Rushmore of guys who have this, but Chuck Todd's got the thinning hair, so Chuck Todd does the forward comb, But with the high def TV, it doesn't work. Like, it worked. Guys did that in the 70s when half of America had a black and white, you know, 13-inch Zenith. Chuck Todd, it doesn't.
That's a damning picture they just pulled up in there of Chuck Todd.
That's just a picture of Chuck Todd. Like, he's got male pattern baldness, which is fine. You just go the Jason Statham route. Don't do the thing because now. You know, they always say.
I think you're very cavalier about this, Ace, because you're not in that spot. It's an existential issue. When you lose the hair, it's never coming back. You shave your head, it ain't ever coming back. Go ahead.
But, well, let me say this. They always say it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. This is literally the cover-up. Nobody blames The Rock or Statham or any of these guys for the male pattern baldness. It's when they try to comb it forward or do the dipsy doodle or whatever the Trump move is or whatever that move is. That's when we make fun of you. Mm-hmm. No one's ever made fun of Statham or The Rock or Vin Diesel or
any. Yeah, but they're handsome devils, so that doesn't count really. I hear you, what you're saying, but if you're an average schnook, the more, I mean, I think at least on par with the lousy haircut and the holding on to youth and it not working for Chuck Todd, a goatee in 2019?
Yeah. That's I'm good. Saying Todd should buzz it off because it's the high def. I got a 70-inch TV and his scalp is poking through.
I like the guys. It's funny.
Also, bad angle when he's moderating the debates, when they go from the stage angle, it's a bad thing. So when you go to the candidates, you're from the ground up, so everyone has a double chin. But when they go to the moderators, they're from the stage down, which is good for a double chin, but bad for the male pattern baldness. So Chuck Todd's got it bad because the camera's kind of up high going down. If you see any moderator at the debate, you can check that out. Can you think of the celebrity that is now kind of suffering for the from the forward?
Who's hanging on when they shouldn't?
Well, when you see hair going the wrong direction, you know what I mean?
I
want to know, is Al Davis's son, is he doing that?
It
looks like
look
he's
like
trying
it.
To hide something up there. Otherwise, he's just a complete nut job because he's picked the super unattractive.
I think there's something to the Samson syndrome, which is that if you make it with a certain hairstyle, then you hold on to it like grim death for fear that if you changed your hair, somehow your fate in the world would lower. And I feel like that's why Donald Trump hangs on to his hair. The old owner of the Houston Oilers, Bud Adams, had one of those heads of hair. It's like, why are you still doing that with your hair in the 21st century? Oh, because when you broke, you had that hair and you're afraid that it's going to change your luck if you ruin that hair.
Yeah, the English actor. Yeah, we're seeing Chuck Todd from the thing. Look, you got to let it go. You gotta go full Statham, or you gotta spray on some top coverage. Won't come off on upholstery.
Can I tell you something, Ace? Over the last few years, I don't know if you and I have had this discussion. You know, I started to get the flesh yarmulke some years ago, you know, and it was a point of shame.
I don't know gay slang, but keep going.
Well, I mean, you can imagine the flesh yarmulke. You know,
oh, I see. Right.
Back there, you know, little skin breaking through in the backside there. Now, my forehead is still, you know, nice and tight. I have a nice head of hair as long as I can stand above you. But someone like you who's a little taller than me can see my shame, my flesh yarmulke. Mm. So they instructed me once I saw it on camera. Mm-hmm. And it screamed out to me. It was a beacon of shame directed at me.
Right.
And they said in the makeup room there at the NFL, they're like, here, try a little of this. They got the hooks in me real good. They put give me some of that topic. You ever try that?
No.
No, it's not spray. It's a better version. It's like pepper. So for your hair.
Yeah, they shake a little on. Your skin, your skull doesn't show through, right?
So. Yeah, but it does. It's not like paint. It somehow magically sits on top of my dome. And then some people say, why don't you just get hair plugs back there? And the answer is because I'll continue to lose my hair. And then I won't have a flesh yarmulke, but I will eventually get a flesh moat around this fake hair island in the back of my head. So you see, these are the issues that you are blessed to not have to deal with because you got a nice mane.
Thank you, Gary.
Salt and pepper, though it may
be.
Before we get to some business, I have to add on to Damashek's story about Mark Davis. He does, in fact, go to a specific barber. I'm reading a report here from Business Insider that says that Davis travels more than 400 miles from his home in Northern California to Palm Springs to get it cut at the same barber.
What, I mean, wow. What goes on? What is the
I don't know.
Process?
You guys try to figure out if he's doing a comb, frontal comb over.
I've seen some worse shots than the one we show you, and he must be trying to cover something. No sane person would make that choice.
But can you see the hair, the flesh coming through?
No,
all right,
I suppose.
Care of business. I will tell you the prominent actor in the next show who is doing this.
I look forward
to
that. So we'll look forward to hearing that tomorrow. In the meantime, though, Ace, let me tell you and the vast Good Sports audience about TrueCar over these next 60 seconds. That's how long it's going to take me to read this ad for you. And that's exactly the same amount of time it will take you to get an offer on your automobile, aka your car. You just go to TrueCar from your smartphone or your computer. You enter the license plate number and watch your details pop up. I might suggest that Mark Davis, you have a 400-mile trip to make. This is something that will help pass 1 minute of your travel to get that haircut. All you have to do, you answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate, true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. Then you bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together, ask questions, and get answers. No surprises. Then leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, go check out TrueCar today. And with that being said, we'll look forward to hearing from Ace Carolla, the actor in show business who suffers from a bad haircut on tomorrow's four. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good
Sports. Follow Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And for tickets and info on everything the Ace Man is doing, visit AdamCarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.